Well, good evening to everybody. All right. Glad to see y'all here on another Wednesday night. We are making great progress through this current study that we're going through. And let me just go ahead and set you up for tonight. Once again, it's going to be tight, but it's going to be right. Okay? It's going to be challenging to every single one of us because we're going to have to look ourselves in the mirror as individuals. We're going to have to look ourselves in the mirror as a church when it comes to what we say we represent and what we say we do. We're going to find out, are we really doing what we say? But let me just make it known, we record every one of these on Wednesday night, so you can go back and listen to it. You can send it out to friends. And I would encourage you to do so. Just utilize that platform we have online. And for those of you that are listening that can't be here tonight, whether it's on a Tuesday, Thursday, if it's a Monday, whenever, I pray that you're encouraged to wherever you're listening at with this study. So we are currently going through what it means to love God, love people, make disciples. So tonight I'm going to back up a little bit, kind of recap us on love God, love people. We just culminated love people last week. Now we're on make disciples starting now. And we're going to be here for a good little while. And that's going to end up wrapping up this series that we've been doing on what it means to love God, love people, make disciples. So I'm gonna intro us tonight. We're not going to get into anything too heavy tonight. It's just going to be an introduction to discipleship. And because next week we won't be meeting, we'll be eating together, and then we'll jump back in. So I don't want to drop it on you, and then you have to wait 2 weeks to come back. So this will be an introduction to what discipleship looks like, and then at the end we'll do some discussion with one another, break up into groups, and pray for one another. So let me pray for us now. Father, we love you, God. Thank you for first loving us. Father, we were wretches undone. God, we were in a world of sin. God, sinking quick, Lord, on what was a fickle foundation, but you and your grace and mercy, you brought us to life, and we thank you for that, God. And as a result of you bringing us to life, Father, our life is not our own, but it is yours. So, Father, tonight make your word plain and clear. God, may we be challenged, but may we also embrace it and just be thankful for it because it brings us to a greater understanding of your word. And who we are and what you command us to do and be. So we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so the first things we looked at was what it meant to love God and to love people. Anybody know where we started out with the reference that was our springboard? Anybody know where that was found, Old Testament? That's right. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Let's read that. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit down in your home, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals between your eyes." So the command here is that it's got to be on your heart. And at any given second, any given moment in time, whatever is on your heart will come out of your mouth. Good or bad. Whatever is on your heart will come out of your mouth. And the Bible says the command is to keep this on your heart. Not just on your heart, but there's some folks around you that need to be encouraged by it too. He says your children need to be taught this. It goes as far to say that when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lay down, when you rise up, that's all the time, right? That's what we're getting at here is this is not just a thing we do every now and then when we engage in loving God and loving people, and I'm adding on making disciples because that's a result of loving God, loving people. So the command is not just to do this every now and then. The command is to do this constantly, all the time. So that's where we get it as believers. So we looked at how God is a God who loves himself. He is a jealous God, and he teaches us how to love him. We looked at how Jesus loved people, and he was very strategic in his approach to evangelism. But he also went and did things that folks said, you shouldn't go there and you shouldn't do that. Jesus did that stuff. He went to a Samaritan woman, which was taboo. Went to a demon-possessed man that everyone had said, that guy's done. So we looked at how Jesus did that. And today we're going to look at discipleship. And I'm going to set us up here. So just a question for you to think about. What is your understanding of what discipleship is and means? Because we all come to the table with some type of understanding of what discipleship is. Now, it might be one that is skewed because of some experience you had in the church world or with religion. It might be a very simple understanding. You might even say, I don't know much about it at all, to be honest. So think about what your understanding of discipleship is. What does it mean to engage in discipleship? What does it mean to disciple? And that's where you have to start. That's where we have to start tonight is what does that even mean? What in your mind, in your heart right now, if I ask you to define discipleship, what would you tell me? How would you define it? What would you say that it is? Is it the preacher's job? A lot of people think that. Preacher, it's your job. We pay you to do it, right? It's your job to grow the church. Is discipleship, is it defined as the church growing in numbers? Is it defined as simple devotion? Is discipleship defined as going to church? Is discipleship defined as church attendance or attending a life group, going to Bible study? Is that what discipleship is? So we have many different ideas of what discipleship is, and hopefully we can break through some of that tonight and define that. But our core mission as a church, Life Church of Athens, now help me with this because y'all know better than I do, those of you that have been here for a while, but this was established when the church began. Is that correct? Okay, how long ago was that established? 10 years? Okay. 11 years. Okay. So 11 years ago, those of you that were part of this church that decided to come together as a body and start what is known as Life Church of Athens, you all agreed that we're going to make this front and center, that we're going to love God, love people, and make disciples. Everyone that was here agreed to that. Everyone that is here and walks through these doors, you have no choice but to see it because it's on the wall. In very large letters. So that's the first thing you see when you walk in here. When I became pastor of Life Church, January 15th, 2017, I agreed as pastor to uphold what's on the wall. To love God, to love people, and to make disciples. Somebody asked me, hey, are you going to come in here and you're going to do a new vision statement or new mission statement? I said, why? That was good enough. That's pretty much it. Yeah, like that's everything. Love God, love people, make disciples. So there's nothing wrong with that. That is at the heart of God. We didn't have to come up with some catchy phrase or slogan to make, you know, people attracted to Life Church to go, oh, that was catchy. Like, no, it's very simple. Love God, love people, and make disciples. Now, we have gone through what it means to love God. And I would say, as I look at our church, I would say that our people love God. Like, I would truly say that our people love the Lord. Like, and that was shown in my process of coming on. And I tell people this all the time. They're like, you pastor church now? Like, okay, so give me the real story. Like, I know all you saying, okay, it was all nice and good. Like, okay, what really happened? How many people left the church when Tim left, right? Like, tell me for real. Like, there's no way you got a unanimous vote to become pastor to come to Life Church. Like, surely there was a handful that was like, we ain't letting this young dude come up in here and tell us what to do. Like, no, 100% of the people said they wanted me to be their pastor. Like, that literally happened. Like, yeah, the pastor who was leaving actually stood up here and led the voting process. Where does that happen? Right? Typically, if a pastor goes to a congregation and says, hey, the Lord is leading me to go somewhere else, they're like, okay, you're done. Search committee, come on, let's find somebody else, right? The process here was amazing, and it was God-honoring, and that from the start let me know that these folks love the Lord. Like, there's something different about them. And then I begin to see how you guys love one another. I said, man, I think they love God, and they'd certainly love people as well. Just in the way that my family was welcome, the way that you guys love us, y'all take care of us. I mean, when stuff happened with my mother-in-law, like, y'all were there. You were there for us in many, many ways. So I know y'all love us and y'all love people. But let's get to this third component. Make disciples. Where are we at with that? Where are we at with that? Where have we been with that? Because it was set in place 11 years ago. As we survey the past 11 years, how have we done with that? If the Lord were to remove everyone else from the world, and it was just you and Him, and He set your life on display on a big screen, somehow it was able to be seen, and the Lord said to you individually, I'm going to look at your life from the time you came to Christ up until right now. And if I were to base the advancement of the gospel on the way you have engaged in discipleship, how far would the gospel have gotten? If I took your life and said your life from salvation to this point was to determine how far the gospel was to advance with Christ using your life as His tool, how far would the gospel have advanced in your salvation period? And I would say that discipleship has so much to do with that. Now, discipleship is, again, is seen in many ways, but I think discipleship, I know discipleship starts at the core level of your relationship with Christ. So when you think about discipleship, first off, you don't need to be thinking about anybody else except you and the Lord. Where are you as a discipler of Christ? If you were to ask Pastor Stephen Day, are you a Christian? He would say no. But what would he say, Shannon? Exactly. He would say, I'm a disciple of Jesus. Now, you might say, oh, semantics. And, okay, sure. But I know this, the term Christian has taken on a lot of different meanings, especially in today's world, because nobody in the good old South wants to say they're not a Christian, right? But to say you're a disciple of Jesus, wait, that's got some meaning attached to it. Like, you're going a little bit deeper there to say I'm a disciple of Christ. What you're saying is I follow Him. I pursue Him. Now, the basis, the biblical basis of discipleship is found in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. You can flip over there because that's really going to be the springboard and the basis for this next several months. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. So Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20, it says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So as a result of that, he says in verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Verse 20 says, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, the first thing we see, you can write this down, I'm going to give you some points here, is Jesus' command. This is the very first thing we see when it comes to discipleship. So the question that I have for you, and I actually, this is a question for discussion as well, so I want you to dig deeper into this. But the question is making disciples, is it optional? As a Christian, as a believer, as a disciple of Jesus, is this optional for us? Because according to Matthew 28, he says, therefore, go and make disciples. I don't think he said you got the option to do this. If you want to, you can do it. If you feel comfortable, you can go do it. If the perfect opportunity comes around, but only if the perfect opportunity comes around. You don't have to get outside your comfort zone or anything, but only if it comes your way and is smooth and set up and teed up, then you can engage in it. No, he actually tells us to go. He doesn't say wait for it to come to you. But he says go into all nations. I think we got it backwards when it comes to the church. We're waiting for all nations to come up in here. And that's not scriptural. But he tells us to go into all nations. Now you have to look at that practically for sure. Some of us can't go and do what we used to do or travel all around the world. But we can support those who do, and we can pray to that end. We can find ways to go into our nations where he talks about Jerusalem, which is right where you are. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the end of the very age. That is the confidence that the Christian has, that the Lord is going to be with us. It's the same thing that we saw in Joshua. Like, the reason Moses and Joshua have this Christian courage that they have is because they know the Lord is with me. Like, that's why they have confidence to go and do what they do. And Jesus shows up in Matthew. This is after his resurrection, and he's telling them, listen, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. I reign and rule as king. I am legitimate. Now that I've gotten authority, I'm going to give you responsibility. Go. But don't be afraid, because I'm going to be with you. So that's the command. The next thing we see is Jesus' model. Now, Jesus is not just telling them to do this, and him not demonstrated himself. So discipleship, when you really look at it, this was Jesus' method and model of winning the world to himself. What he did was Jesus, and we see through his ministry, he actually converted very few people in his earthly ministry in a clear-cut way. He didn't just go and do mass revivals and just have mass people come up and walk the aisle. Jesus, when he had massive people in front of him, he actually said things that were offensive and made people walk away. And the reason he did that is because he was trying to check their hearts, but he literally puts his ministry on the backs of 12 men. He walks with these 12 men, and he uses this tool of discipleship to usher in his kingdom. And obviously these guys got a hold of it and did it, because the gospel continued up until September 19, 2017. I think that's today's date, right? 20th, September 20th, right? Like, the gospel has advanced to this point, so obviously those 12 guys grabbed a hold of discipleship and that whole model, and they continued it. And we're going to dig into that later. But he does it through these 12 men. Now, with Jesus, as popular as he was with the folks in his earthly ministry, he didn't focus on just this momentary applause or these folks that came to him in masses. But he spent his life and poured his life into those few that he knew would multiply and would carry the gospel on. So Jesus did that, and as his followers, he expects us to do the exact same. Discipleship was fundamental to the ministry of Jesus. The next thing we see here is an early church model, and we're actually in Acts, and we're going to look at that and how it plays out on Sunday mornings. But there's a really clear-cut example with Paul. 2 Timothy 2:2, if you flip over there, That is discipleship, and Paul is one of the ones that we use to really just explain discipleship lived out. So 2 Timothy 2:2. If I could actually get somebody to read that, that'd be great. Anybody? Okay, so this Pauline model that we see is, he's saying the stuff you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, he says, entrust to reliable people, reliable men, who will also be qualified to teach others. So there's this process of handing it down. It's in the stuff you've heard me say. Now, Paul, he understood that it was important that Jesus sent him to do all that he had commanded. Paul had a role, Paul had a responsibility. You have a responsibility as a Christ follower to do all he's commanded you to do. And in the same way, he said, for me to do what the Lord has called me to do, I've got a role and responsibility, but I also need to understand that there's other people have roles and responsibilities, and I need to be helping them accomplish that as well. And the way I can do that is by me pouring into them, by me helping them along the way, because I've been down the road that they're getting ready to come down. So let me help them on this Christian journey. So Paul himself invests into Timothy. And Timothy himself invested into others. So there's this model here, and we'll look at that later too. And I firmly believe that this same idea, the same model, the same concept of discipleship is one that we should be following as well, that we pour into others who pour into others. 2 Timothy 2:2. Now, I asked you in the very beginning, kind of what is discipleship? What is your understanding of discipleship? So let me give you some things here that can help reshape, if it needs to be reshaped, your understanding and ideology of what discipleship is. So the word discipleship, it actually never occurs in the Bible. The word disciple does, because we just read that in Matthew 28. But the word discipleship does not occur in the Bible, but it can mean my discipleship in the sense of my own pattern of following Jesus and trusting him and learning from him. So discipleship can be seen as me pursuing Christ and following Christ, this process of being discipled by Jesus through his word. Now, it can also mean our activity of helping others be disciples in that sense of learning from Christ and growing in Christ. Now, the second meaning, and this is good, this is going to help us out. The second meaning of discipleship, it's got a verb form in the New Testament. Now, the Greek word for this is matheo. Matheo. If you want to write that down, M-A-T-H-E-T-U-O. Matheo. Anybody know what the English form of this word is? No? No? What is the first four letters of that spell? Yeah. Mathematics. Mathematics. Yes. So with mathematics, it's also where we get the term multiplication. Now, discipleship isn't about addition. It's about multiplication. This is extremely important to understand. It's not about addition, but it's about multiplication. See, because we can do addition. We can try to get people in here on Sundays and invite them, and that's great and important. We can add to the numbers. But addition stops at a certain place. Right? Because 6 plus 2 is what? But what's 6 times 2? 12. 12 plus 12 was what? 12 times 12 is what? Yeah. It's all right. It's a long day at school. It's okay. But you see the idea, right? And oftentimes we think, oh, discipleship. So I just need to add one more. I just need to pour into somebody. Okay, so we're talking about discipleship and pouring into somebody and taking somebody on. So, okay, let's say I add one. Okay, done my job. I poured into this one person, and I've handled the discipleship in a way of me really telling them, but I never told them about telling somebody else. I didn't prepare them to prepare somebody else. And that's what multiplication is. It's me telling one who goes and tells two, and that two goes and tells two, who goes and tells two, and before you know it, this multiplication has just compounded. And that's what the scripture is referring to also when it's talking about being a disciple, is metheo, which is to multiply. That's how 12 men end up spreading the gospel to the world. That is multiplication. That is not addition. That is multiplication. And that's what discipleship is. See, a lot of us, the reason why things stall, the reason why the church does not grow, the reason why we just live our Christian life and we just go through what we do and we check off our Sunday morning and we do things that concern us and we might help one or two along the way, the reason we don't expand is because we don't understand multiplication. The command to multiply. It is a command. That's why I said Sunday morning that I'm just not worried about adding numbers to the church, but let's make disciples, and the number will take care of itself, but I'd rather have 15 disciples of Christ than 100 folks who are just sitting and soaking. This whole idea of consumerism, it is fundamentally against the gospel to simply be a consumer. Just to come and sit and soak and get what you need for yourself and be like, okay, I'm good. But you're not pouring into anybody else. With the concept and the idea and the understanding that this didn't start with me and it can't end with me. I cannot just sit on this and just take it to my grave. But this, what God has given me is meant to be poured into other people. Got to understand that, and that's where our church will grow and expand. And I, for the most part, everybody in here has been consistent with coming and digging into Wednesday nights. And I know it's tough. Some cannot come here on Wednesday nights. Their schedules do not allow it, and I get that. And some listen to the podcast and take notes at home and praise God for that. But there is a number of people as well that can come here but just do not. And I can't answer the question as to why, and I'm not even going to speculate as to why. But I know when you want to be a disciple of Jesus, you're going to get all you can. And you're going to show up, and you're going to press into His Word and what He says, because I know one thing, I might be a little biased, but these Wednesday nights are good. It's good stuff. And I put time into this. And the Lord speaks to me, and He gives me His Word to give to His people. If it's me, I don't really want to miss that. So this idea of metheo, of multiplication, and again, you see that in 2 Timothy 2:2. It's right here. And the things that which you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. It didn't say one other. It said others. Plurality there, the multiplication, who will then go teach others. So how does it happen? How do we see that happen in the New Testament? Well, Titus 2:4, the Bible tells us here, older women are to train younger women. I mean, it is spelled out right there. Older women biblically have the responsibility as believers to pour into younger women. Have we been doing that over the past 11 years? Have we been doing that over the past 9 months since I've been here? Got to be honest with ourselves. 2 Timothy 2:2, we saw that where Paul trained Timothy to train others. Ephesians 6:4, fathers are to train their children. Matthew 28:20, missionaries are to teach the nations everything Jesus has commanded. Hebrews 3:13, all Christians are to exhort each other every day to avoid sin and to steer each other up towards love and good works. You can also see Hebrews 10:24 through 25 for that. 1 Peter 4:10 says all Christians are to use their gifts to serve one another. Acts 18:24 through 26 says Priscilla and Aquila, on the spur of the moment, it seems, explain the way of God more accurately to Apollos. And there you see where they come together and they're witnesses together. And they actually help promote the gospel. This idea of, hey, we are women. And in this particular point in time, there was the roles of women was lessened compared to men. But that didn't stop them from multiplying and spreading the gospel. They had a significant role. So every Christian should be helping unbelievers become believers by showing them Christ. And how do we do that? By making disciples. Every Christian should be helping other believers grow to more and more maturity. That is making disciples. And every Christian should be seeking to get help for themselves from others on growing in Christ. That is discipleship. So the relation of me seeking someone to pour into me. And I'm telling you guys, this has been one of the biggest blessings of my life, to have someone disciple me. And that really started, well, it really started when I was a kid. And my first disciplers were my parents, in particular my dad, that poured into me. And I mean, that's fulfilling the scripture, Ephesians 6:4, fathers are to train their children. I mean, my dad did that, poured into me significantly. But as your child gets older, they listen to you less and less. So for me, it was important to get accountability and get discipleship. So when I got to college, a guy named Scott Shepherd with Athletes in Action, he started pouring in my life. I was a freshman living up in Creswell Hall on campus at Georgia. And this skinny white dude decided to invest in this black kid from country Carrollton. And it helped shape my life. I mean, I'd get in his little Honda, and we'd go to Smoothie King at least once a week. And he would ask me the tough questions. How are you doing? What are you looking at? Where's your mind at? How are your relationships? How much time are you spending in God's Word? And then my sophomore year, Thomas Settles came on staff. He's a chaplain of the football team. And Scott handed me over to Thomas because he felt that there was even more connectedness there. Thomas, African-American man, I am as well. We got a lot in common. So he's like, hey, I think you guys would actually gel even better together. So I've walked in discipleship with Thomas Settles. And to this day, he is still the guy who disciples me to this day. It was amazing to see how he helped me get into seminary. He helped me pay for seminary. I mean, I wasn't even going to go, and he was like, no, you need to go. I was like, I don't need seminary. You know, they just force feed you, and, you know, everything I need to know. I got a Bible here. He's like, no, your butt's going to seminary. And I went. So I did, and I thank God that I did, but I wouldn't have gone if it wasn't for Thomas Settles in my life. And how he poured into me, and I got to see how he loved his wife, how he raised his kids, how he pastored a church. Lo and behold, here comes Life Church of Athens. And you know who I looked at and turned to? Thomas Settles and my dad. But those guys pouring into my life, like it helped me. And he helps me. But he's got access to my life. And I thank God for that. And so now I get the opportunity to do that for other guys. I can't even count how many guys I've discipled and am still pouring into. I got players that I coached in Kentucky back in 2011, 12, and 13 that still call me to this day. One of them, he was my basketball player, hard-headed little joker. But he said, Nolan, I want you to walk with me. So I did. Trevor Mason got married 2 years ago and just had his first son. A couple of months ago, wasn't it? And he's letting me pour into his life. He lives in Florida now. But we still keep each other accountable. I still pour into his life. He still gives me that access. Now, being on campus at Georgia, pouring into those guys, discipling those guys. There's guys in this church that have asked me to disciple them. And I do that as well. Because I know how important it is. It's essential. It is a command. And I don't just do it because I'm the preacher. I do it because I'm a disciple of Jesus. That's why I do it. And that's the command for all of us to do that. Now, when it comes to discipleship, it's all about relationship. It's all about building relationship, doing it in love, being committed to it, making sure that it is authentic, that there is vulnerability there, that there's transparency there. Discipleship really doesn't work if folks ain't being transparent. And there's got to be intentionality there. There's a few verses I want you to write down. I'm not going to have time to actually read through them. Matthew 9:9, write that one down. John chapter 1, verse 43. And chapter 11, verse 54. And 1 Thessalonians 2:8. All those have to do with relationship. So Matthew 9:9. John chapter 1, verse 43, and John chapter 11, verse 54, and then 1 Thessalonians 2:8. It's one of the simple things you see Jesus doing is he is spending time with them. He is committed to it. And that can be difficult with folks with schedules and stuff, but just making a commitment, both folks saying, hey, we're going to commit to this process and jumping in it. Now, write these down. These are three qualities when it comes to discipleship. When it comes to yourselves, of being a disciple, and when it comes to if you were to engage in a discipleship relationship with someone else, these are three things that you want to see. The first one is faithful. The second is available. And the third is teachable. So the qualities you want to see within yourself and within someone that you are discipling, you want to see that they are fat. Faithful, available, teachable. It's a good way of remembering it. So the next logical question is, are you fat? Are you fat? Are you faithful? Are you available? Are you teachable? So faithful to the scriptures, faithful to pursue Christ, faithful to commit to the process. Are you available? Are you saying, yes, I'm going to open up my life. I'm going to be transparent. I'm going to be vulnerable. I'm going to be available for this process. And then your own discipleship to Christ, Lord, I'm available to you every second of every day. And are you teachable? Man, can you confront the scriptures and say, Lord, I see this thing that you're calling out of me, this sin, this issue, and I'm going to submit to it? That's important, number one. But secondly, when you're engaged with someone in discipleship, are they teachable? Can you ask hard questions and give them biblical answers and they actually receive it? There's a number of people who won't because they get offended. Like, yeah, I committed to this thing, but not on that level. You can't ask me that question. You can't get in my business that deep. When you engage in discipleship with someone, you open up your life. And here's finally what I want you to see. Jesus never asked anyone to do or to be anything which he first did not demonstrate in his own life. Jesus required nothing of no one that he did not first demonstrate in his own life. So when it comes to making disciples like we have on that wall, you got to first demonstrate that. You got to exemplify that in your own life. Because when you invite people in, a part of the reality and honesty of it as well is not, hey, come be a part of this discipleship thing with me because my life is perfect. And I can teach and show you what to do because I do everything perfectly correct. So come be with me. No, it's, hey, come walk alongside me as you see how I handle life and how I respond to things and how, yes, I make some mistakes, but look at this process of repentance that I go through whenever I need to apologize to my wife for doing something that was wrong. Come watch how I have to apologize to my children for just going off because I was stressed about something else that had nothing to do with them. Like, come and watch and see how this process of sanctification is worked out in the life of a believer. Come, walk alongside me. So that's just the intro, okay? That's just the intro to this direction we're going. Because we got to get this. We have to understand this. And my assumption is, it's either we know what the word says about being a disciple and making disciples and we ignore it, or we have a simple understanding of what he says and we just haven't dug deep into it, or we haven't been taught on it at all. So it's somewhere along that lines. And there's many of you in here, I'm not saying that nobody does this process. Like, there are many of you in here that engage in discipleship. You are being discipled. You are discipling someone else. Praise God for that. But I'd love to see our church as a whole grab a hold of this thing, because remember, 11 years ago, that's what we said we do. And are we doing it? So here's some questions for you. Yeah, those questions up, Heather. So the first one, obviously, what stood out to you from tonight? The second, what are some of the misconceptions you've had surrounding what discipleship is? So in your group, whenever I first asked you that question, like, be honest. Say, listen, this is how I used to understand it or how I understood it growing up. This is how it's changed. The next one, why is discipleship a command and not a suggestion for the believer? What role does discipleship play in preventing a consumerism mentality? So how does discipleship prevent this idea of just simply attending church or going to Bible study or life group? If discipleship is a clear scriptural command, why is it that the church at large is not doing it? I'm not just saying that's an indictment against us, but in general, you really don't see a lot of this going on with churches. And then what role does discipleship play in the advancement of the gospel? That is a weighty question, and that might be one I ask even more throughout this series. And then finally, pray for one another. So let me pray for you. You'll split up into groups. Y'all can do 4, 5. But make sure you get to different areas of the room. Like, one over here, one in the middle, one over there would be great. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight, Lord. Just thank you that it does challenge us, but God, it is edifying. It is encouraging for us to see where we can look more like you. Father, I pray that the response, Lord, would be, Lord, I want to see this the way you see it. God, open my eyes to see the scriptures the way you do. Help me to be a disciple, number one, of you, Jesus, to pursue and follow you more closely. And God, secondly, that we would seek to engage in discipleship of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and even those that do not know the Lord, with the prayer that they would come to Christ. So, Lord, I pray that over your people. We thank you for tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.